Well, the title of my message is this: Don't You Dare Quit. Don't you dare quit. In the summer holidays of 1998, I was 14 years old. For some of you trying to do the maths, I'm 33 now. I'll save you some sums. But I was with my cousins and some of his friends. And within his friendship group, there was, I would like to say one girl, but there was two girls that I wanted to impress on this particular day. And so I thought I'd ask my uncle if he could help me. And my uncle was into his dogs, so I thought it would be a smart idea if I could borrow one of his dogs for the day to earn a few brownie points with the girls that I wanted to impress. Now, I would like to say that he was a big, tough, German Shepherd sort of dog, but I would be lying. He was a Springer Spaniel. Ah, that's right. About 2 years old and about 2 foot wide. But in my eyes, he was cute. And I need to clarify from the start, he was very strong. He had supernatural strength. But you know, we were out on our bikes. That's what we used to do back then. We didn't have mobile phones. I am that old already. It feels that way. But we were out on a bike ride. And being the novice I am, I attached the dog, who was called Moss, to my handlebars. And some of you know, but just stay with me. Don't presume where I'm going with this story. And so I thought I was the coolest guy on the block. And all was going well. There was giggles. There was laughter. I thought I was the man. I thought I'm going to have a problem here. Which girl am I going to choose? And so we were just riding off into the sunset. And then all of a sudden, the body language in Moss changed. Something changed in an instant, and he saw something in the distance. It was a rabbit. A rabbit. Now things started to change for me too. I went from a gentle cycle into a lap in the Olympics at the velodrome. I mean, the pace began to pick up, and forgetting the company he was in and the fact that we were going downhill and that there was traffic and cars and that I was five times bigger than him, nothing was going to stop him. Nothing was going to stop him. The pace got faster and I tried to apply some pressure on my brakes, but that didn't work. And Moss cut right across my handlebars, and in slow motion, I felt like I was in a movie as I saw my short 14 years of life pass before my eyes. As I landed over the handlebars, I ended up in a large pile of stinging nettles, and Moss was just sitting there thinking enough was enough. He didn't catch the rabbit. But what I want to tell you about is this tonight, is that he persisted until the end. And he taught us all a lesson that if you are focused and you want something bad enough, then no one or nothing or should stop you pursuing it. Nothing should stop you pursuing it. I also want to say that I never saw those two girls in my life again. So I don't know what happened there. They weren't worth it anyway. So, but my assignment tonight is going to come from Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through to 8. And it is the parable of the persistent widow. Let me read this story to you. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice for my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come back and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says.'" This is a tongue twister right here. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I wonder, have you ever felt like quitting? Giving up on something that deep down you know you shouldn't give up on. Walking away from someone you know you shouldn't. Throwing in the towel because you cannot seem to get that which you desire. Or have you ever felt like quitting? I'm sure that most of us have felt like giving up on something at more than one point in life. But feeling the urge to quit is quite normal for anyone that wants to achieve something great with their life. Anyone that has done anything significant has fought the urge to quit somewhere along the way. Every king has fought it. Every queen has fought it. Every prime minister has fought it. Every champion has fought it. Every winner has fought it. Every leader has fought it. You see, if what you were called to do was easy, then everyone else would be doing it. Feeling the urge to quit is one thing, but actually doing it is quite another. And when Jesus is teaching us this parable, he makes two things evidently clear. The first is this, that number one, you should always pray. And number two, that you should not give up. Do you know, God honors those who are persistent in what they have been given. Those who are tenacious for the things of God on their life. Those who hunger and thirst after his word, his plans, and his promises. God honors those who continue to follow him and chase him down despite the knockbacks they have received along the way. Oh, you might not have much, but if you have a heart after God and a determination to keep walking out your journey, then it is amazing what you will see and where you can end up. When Jesus paints the picture for this parable, he is intentional as to who he uses as his lead character. A widow. A widow. You know, widows were among the most vulnerable people back then. They didn't have much. In fact, scripture shows us in both the Old and New Testament that they might not have had much, but they were close to God's heart. These women were close to God's heart. Now, we don't know what issue she was trying to get justice for, but it is likely that someone was trying to cheat her out of land or money that her husband would have left her. This was prevalent in Bible times. As women had few legal rights and certainly in this situation were considered of little value to the society. So the odds in this parable are stacked against her. Now throw into the mix that the judge she is facing was corrupt. He didn't fear God. He didn't fear man and was just a horrible piece of work. So the likelihood of this woman getting anything she wanted was beyond slim. She couldn't charm him with her looks. She couldn't bribe him with her possessions. She couldn't afford a lawyer to represent her, but she could do something. Oh, she could do something. She could consistently keep taking her petition to the judge until it wore him down. She was a woman of justice, a woman on a mission. Now, in my 5 years of marriage, I have learned that when my wife is on a mission, just stand back. Don't get in the way. That's dangerous territory. Can I hear an amen from all my sisters? And nervous laughter from the men. You see, this cause, it mattered to her. And she was not going to let it rest until she got what was right. She couldn't sit at home folding her arms, hoping that something would magically change her outcome or that someone would jump to her defense and fight her corner. No, the Bible says that she leapt out of bed every day to chase that judge down. Oh, do you know, there is something attractive about tenacity. People who don't know when to quit, even when the obstacles look too big to bring down or the gap looks looks too large to jump. Those people who know how to keep going and give it a go anyway, to me, that's attractive. That's attractive. You see, Jesus wants to teach us out of this parable here that no matter how dark your valley, how big your problem, how impossible your circumstance, no matter if how many odds are stacked against you, God is bigger. And when God is with you, there is always a way out. There is always a way up. There is always a way forward. For the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 12, that blessed is the man who perseveres through trial, which means there is a blessing attached to your fight. If you keep going, there is a crown of life with your name on it, but you have to persevere. You have to keep going. You have to keep going. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, don't you dare quit on me. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor and say, don't you dare quit on me. I know I've been coming here 8 years. You still fall for it every time. But you see, there is another hidden quality to this widow. She is tenacious. But also, despite the challenge she is facing, another quality she has is that she does not allow worry to get down on her insides. She was not concerned about the reputation of the judge. She wasn't bothered about the whispers of those around her. She didn't care about what the length of the fight may be. She was going to stand strong despite the temptation of being overwhelmed with worry. Now, most people I have met quit when something arises outside of your control, or when a crisis sweeps in and takes you by surprise, when anxiety becomes the loudest voice in your head and you start hearing things like, you could never do that. What does that person think of me? I'm not qualified to fulfill that role. Do you know, it's one thing to act all strong and spiritual on the outside. Anyone can wear a smile in public, but I wonder today, what are the depths of your strength on the inside? How strong are you on the inside that when stuff happens, when the outcome you hope for looks different, when people talk about you in a way that pierces the essence of who you are, do you allow that negativity, those sharp words, that unjust treatment to pierce your heart and knock the stuffing out of you? Do you allow 5 minutes of madness in your day at work to eat away at you for the next 3 weeks? Do you allow someone else's opinion of you dictate your level of morale for the rest of your day? Do you allow the enemy to come in like a thief in the night and rob you and steal you of your joy while everyone else moves forward in their life? Or do you, when fear comes knocking, you open that door and you answer it with some faith? You look that stuff in the eye and say, yes, I may have lost a lot. Yes, my confidence may have been shattered. Yes, I might not be where I want to be, but I know that my God is still in control because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am not where I want to be just yet, but God is in control. I am not the tail, I am the head, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He will restore to me what the locusts have devoured, for he is my peace in the storm. My breakthrough is on the way. I will take back the ground that the enemy has stolen from me. For if God be for me, then who can be against me? Oh, come on, can I have a shout of praise in the house tonight? For those of you who don't know me, I'm just getting warmed up. I'm a preacher, and I don't apologize. Only to my wife. You see, I want to encourage you tonight that no person can change your destiny. So don't waste valuable time worrying what they may or may not think about you. Don't allow that worry to get down into the depths of who you are. You know, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you never go anywhere with it. I quite like that myself. You need to fix your eyes on the prize, the author and perfecter of your faith. take some inspiration from this widow, that despite the reputation of others, despite the plans of others, that you have nothing to worry about because you know who is on your side. You know who is on your side. You see, this widow had so many qualities. She was persistent. She was tenacious. She was fearless. But what Jesus really wants us to get, I believe, out of this parable is this, that if an unjust judge would give in to a persistent widow, then how much more will a loving, kind, and compassionate God respond to your requests? Oh, forget about what position you hold in society. Forget about what mistakes you have made. Forget about the things you are ashamed of. They do not disqualify you from entering your prayers to the King's table. They do not stop or hinder you from receiving the favor of God. God does not put your requests on mute because of the mess you find yourself in today. Our great Father in heaven looks beyond your faults. He is slow to anger and rich in love. His grace and mercies are new every single day. His ears are open. His heart is ready. He wants to turn your mess into a message, your test into a testimony. That's why persistent prayer is important. And that is why I want to bring it to your attention tonight. To you tonight. You see, to persist in prayer and not give up does not mean endless repetition of painfully long prayer sessions. Although there is nothing wrong with long prayer sessions, far from it. But always praying means keeping your requests before God. And there are many benefits to persistent prayer. Let me give you a couple. Persistent prayer keeps us focused on who God is. It allows us to have continual dialogue with the God who said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It keeps our attention aimed at the God who created the universe, the God who has the power to stop the sun, the God who can raise people from the dead. We get to have dialogue with the God who the Bible describes as able and can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask for or imagine. That we get to speak to the God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. The God who is above your situation today. The God who is above your circumstances tomorrow. We get to speak to that God. And persistent prayer reminds us of that. How good he is. How good he is. It keeps us focused on the bigness of God. Persistent prayer also keeps us focused on the who you are. This widow was powerless. She was powerless. She couldn't change this situation on her own. She needed some intervention. Someone bigger, someone smarter, someone greater to step in. And the Bible tells us that when you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, then we are his children. That we become a child of God. Do you know, if we are his children, then we are an heir to his kingdom. And everything that goes with it. That we have the right to receive all of his promises. Now, all of that is a good thing, but the best thing is that when we accept him into our heart, we receive his love. His love. Oh, do you know that today? God in heaven loves you. He loves you. He is a loving father who wants the best for you. You know, growing up, I've been very fortunate, I know, to have been blessed with a great dad. He has encouraged me. He has challenged me. He has comforted me. Every time I went to him with a problem, he offered a solution. He has always been there when I needed him. I didn't always agree with the solution he gave or the advice he offered, but he only offered what he felt was best to me in the scenario that I found myself in. He had my interests in his heart. He did with the best with the limited knowledge he had. And you know what? Persistent prayer reminds us of that. That we don't have to have everything in order. We don't have to be living the perfect life to approach our Heavenly Father with our problems. In fact, the Bible encourages us that when you are feeling weak, when you are feeling inadequate, this isn't something to be ashamed of. This is actually an opportunity for God's strength to be made known in your weakness. He wants you to keep bringing your issues, your stuff, your questions, your problems to him so that you will start to recognize that your ability, your wisdom, your ideas may take you some of the way, but they will not take you all of the way. God wants to move you to the next level. He wants to move you to the next level. And I love that about God. You can come into him any way you want. He will hear your prayers. He will step in. He will step in. He will step in. You can take a step back then and say, wow, I don't know how this just happened, but it has to be God. I don't know how I got here, but it has to be God. I don't know how I'm doing this. It has to be God. Persistent prayer reminds us of that. It reminds us that we need some intervention sometimes. And God always gets the glory out of those situations. Another thing, is this helping you tonight? Another thing persistent prayer reminds us of is this. It keeps us focused on what is important. It keeps you focused on what is important. How many of us prayed a prayer last week, which meant a lot at the time, but you've now forgotten you've prayed it? It's okay, you don't have to raise any hands. Now, if it has come to pass, then wonderful. That's great. But I'm sure we can all admit to praying prayers that we just forget about, that slip out of the mind. Now, let me reassure you, God has heard those prayers, and they are not less significant, but persistent prayers do not allow this to happen. They don't allow this to happen. You see, they weed out some of those prayers that are perhaps not as important. Those are pertinacious prayers that build your faith, which produce greater fruit. I know from personal experience that the longer I have prayed about something, the more it means to me when the answer comes. Many of you know that my wife and I have had a real journey around conception and around, you know, children. And in April 2015, when we had journeyed through a challenging 9 months of pregnancy, but made it all the way to the hospital, that we had just decorated our new home, the nursery was ready, the furniture was ready, her name was ready, everything was ready, but we went into hospital and our baby didn't make it. She was born without breath in her lungs. Man, that was tough. The journey's been tough. But we still believed that God would grace us with a family. And so we had to make a decision that through the tears, through the heartache, that we would continue to petition heaven with our prayers. And I can tell you, it took us over a year again to conceive, but we prayed every single day that we would have a child for a year. And when we conceived, we prayed every single day for 9 months that one day we would get to hold our second baby girl in our arms, Lila Hope. And let me tell you, yes, that prayer came to pass, and I'm grateful for it. But I know people that have been praying longer for a family. I know people that have prayed for 15 years and still not had a family. I've known people to pray for things and desire great things, and still God hasn't come through yet. I've prayed for other miracles myself that haven't happened yet. Sometimes we don't always get the answers we want in the way, shape, or form, or time scale that we desire, but I have come to know that God knows what he's doing. So don't you stop praying. Don't you quit on me now. If you believe it, give him a shout of praise in here tonight. Don't you stop praying. Don't you quit on me now. Don't you quit on me. Don't you stop chasing after that which God has placed in your heart. Don't you give up on that dream. Don't you walk away from that promise. Don't you quit on me. Persistent prayer is powerful. I heard a story recently about a man named George Muller that lived, this man lived a life of persistent prayer. George Muller was an English evangelist in the 1800s who founded many orphanages in Bristol. And he wrote these words about prayer. He said, the great point is to never give up until the answer comes. I have been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. He is not saved yet, but he will be. How can it be otherwise? I am praying. George Mueller died, and that man was still not saved. But as they lowered Mueller's coffin into the grave, the man he had been praying for repented of his sin and gave his heart to Christ at the graveside. Friend, don't you stop praying. Don't you stop praying. Whether God moves instantly or whether he moves over a process, keep petitioning God. Persistent prayers show God how much you want it. How much you want it. Some of the most effective prayers you will ever pray are the persistent ones. David said in Psalm 55 that I call to God and he saves me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and he shall hear my voice. And so I have come all the way to tell you this today, that the Lord hears your cry. So don't stop praying for your loved ones. Don't stop praying for your healing, your miracle, your relationships, your children, your finances, your job. Don't stop praying for those chains to come loose, to be free of that bondage, to be free of that addiction. Don't stop praying. Don't you quit on God just yet. Your miracle matters. And I believe it tonight that there is going to be some breakthrough in this house. I sense it. Just don't you quit. You're going to leave this place. It's going to be ringing in your ears all week. Don't you quit just yet. You see, being persistent in prayer is not the only weapon you need in your artillery. You need to be persistent in life. I wonder, can you defy the urge to quit? I find it comforting when I read the scriptures that I see that even Jesus knows what it feels like to want to quit. In Mark 14, we read how Jesus and his disciples entered the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is the final moments before Jesus is to be betrayed. His death on the cross was imminent. He knows that he is about to die in the most brutal of ways. And I just want to read to you what happens here in Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 32. It says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it possible, the hour might pass for him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will be done. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So once again, Jesus went away and prayed. But returning a third time in verse 31, he said, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. He was distressed and troubled. Do you know, it crossed Jesus's mind to quit. He walks into that garden boldly. He knew what he was about to endure. He knew that it was going to be the hardest few days of his life, but he also knew what was waiting for him the other side. That the ultimate victory was in touching distance. Jesus couldn't quit now. He couldn't quit now. Imagine if that's where the Bible finished, in verse 32. And in the previous chapters, we read about all the good works he's done, the impressive teachings, the miracles he birthed, the people's hearts he touched, the justice he won, the lives he changed. But when you turn the page, it says, but Jesus's mission was incomplete. Just imagine if that's where the Bible finished. In the moment he was betrayed, he walked out because he couldn't face it anymore. He couldn't finish what he was called to do because he quit. Because the ending didn't go as he wanted it to go. Because the ending didn't suit him. Even though he was at the final hurdle and he could see the finish line in sight, he walked away. And the Bible said, mission incomplete. Thank goodness the Bible doesn't say that. Can I just call the band forward as I bring this to a finish? You see, the next few hours, and watch me, not the band, we're nearly done here. The next few hours would be like nothing he had ever experienced before. I'm sure he would have liked to fast forward the next couple of days and edit out some of the pain that he was about to receive, but he couldn't. Because Jesus knew that in these moments, it was here where he would be pierced for our transgressions. That he would be crushed for our iniquities. That the punishment that brought us peace was now upon him. That by his wounds that he was then to receive, we would be healed. Jesus Christ didn't quit because he had you in mind. He had you in mind. Three times he prayed, not my will, but your will be done, Father. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. Do you know Jesus Christ laid down his life so that you didn't have to lose yours? To Jesus, you are the prize, and the punishment was worth the process. You were worth it. You are worth it.